and unlike the sorcery of men. But a moment more and he saw this was no trick of the dragon, but of his own eyes. What he had taken for a part of the tower was the shoulder of the dragon of Pendor, as he uncurled his bulk and lifted himself slowly up. When he was all afoot, his scaled head, spike-crowned and triple-tongued, rose higher than the broken tower's height, and his taloned forefeet rested on the rubble of the town below. His scales were gray-black, catching the daylight like broken stone. Lean as a hound he was, and huge as a hill. Ged stared in awe. There was no song or tale could prepare the mind for this sight. Almost he stared into the dragon's eyes and was caught. For one cannot look into a dragon's eyes. He glanced away from the oily green gaze that watched him and held up before him his staff that looked now like a splinter, like a twig.
8 sons I had, little wizard, said the great dry voice of the dragon. 5 died. 1 dies. Enough! You will not win my hoard by killing them.
I do not want your hoard!
The yellow smoke hissed from the dragon's nostrils. That was his laughter.
Would you not like to come ashore and look at it, little wizard? It is worth looking at.
No, dragon! No, no!
The kinship of dragons is with wind and fire, and they do not fight willingly over the sea. That had been Ged's advantage so far, and he kept it. But the strip of seawater between him and the great gray talons didn't seem much of an advantage anymore, and it was hard not to look into the green, watching eyes.
You are very young, wizard, the dragon said. I did not know men came so young into their power.
He spoke, as did Ged, in the old speech, for that is the tongue of dragons still. Although the use of old speech binds a man to truth, this is not so with dragons. It is their own language, and they can lie in it, twisting the true words to false ends, catching the unwary hearer in a maze of mirror words, each of which reflects the truth, and none of which leads anywhere. So Ged had been warned often, and when the dragon spoke, he listened with an untrustful ear, all his doubts ready, but the words seemed plain and clear.
Is it to ask my help that you have come here, little wizard?
No, no, dragon, no.
Yet I could help you. You will need help soon against that which hunts you in the dark.
Ged stood dumb.
What is it that hunts you? Name it to me.
If I could name it!
And Ged stopped himself. Yellow smoke curled above the dragon's long head from the nostrils that were 2 round pits of fire.
If you could name it, you could master it. Maybe, little wizard, maybe I could tell you its name when I see it close by, and it will come close. If you wait about my isle, it will come wherever you come. If you do not want it to come close, you must run and run and keep running from it, and yet it will follow you. Would you like to know its name?
Ged stood silent again. How the dragon knew of the shadow he had loosed, he could not guess. Now, how it might know the shadow's name. The archmage had said that the shadow had no name, yet dragons have their own wisdom, and they are an older race than man. Few men can guess what a dragon knows and how he knows it, and those few, well, they are the dragon lords. To Ged, only one thing was sure, that though the dragon might well be speaking truth, though he might indeed be able to tell Ged the nature and name of the shadow thing and so give him power over it, even so, even if he spoke truth, he did so wholly for his own ends.
"It is very seldom,"
the young man said at last,
"that dragons ask to do men favors."
"But it is very common for cats to play with mice before they kill them."
"But I did not come here to play or to be played with. I came to strike a bargain with you."
Like a sword in sharpness, but five times the length of any sword, the point of the dragon's tail arched up scorpion-wise over his mailed back above the tower. Dryly he spoke.
"I strike no bargains. I take. What have you to offer that I cannot take from you when I like?"
"Safety? Your safety? Swear that you will never fly eastward of Pendor, and I will swear to leave you unharmed."
A grating sound came from the dragon's throat like the noise of an avalanche far off, stones falling among mountains. Fire danced along his three-forked tongue. He raised himself higher, looming over the ruins.
"You offer me safety? You threaten me? With what?"
"With your name, Yavod!"
Ged's voice shook as he spoke the name, yet he spoke it clear and loud, and the sound of it the old dragon held still, utterly still. A minute went by and another, and then Ged, standing there in his rocking chip of a boat, smiled. He had staked this venture and his life on a guess drawn from old histories of dragon lore learned on Roke. A guess that this dragon of Pendor was the same that had spoiled the west of Oskil in the days of Alfarin and Mored, and had been driven from Oskil by a wizard, Elt, wise in names. And the guess had held.